With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Can I ask you, Rob, something as well? Just very quickly. How much do you hate Kelly Slater? Because I reckon you hate him.
do you know him?
He DMs me occasionally. Yeah, he's just asking me for coolest tips.
I didn't know if you guys were in on this together.
Yeah. But no, actually, I have a question. So basically, in the movie, you talk about when Kelly stole your board, one of your boards,
right? Yeah.
And he put his traction pad on it and all his stickers and stuff. But then I watched that and I was like, but I remember reading that you stole your first Al Merritt, you stole from him.
Wow.
Actually,
it was payback.
So it's payback.
He just waited until it was like we were both fighting for a world title.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it was like a very important board. See, when I stole his board, we were like, 14, 15.
But did he like use it?
And it was a board that he didn't care about.
But do you think he held it back? So he's like, I'm not going to steal his board yet. I'm going to wait till we're both going for the world title and then I'm going to steal his board.
Critical. That was probably our. I don't know if you call it the lowest or the highest point of our, conflict. Yeah.
But with someone like Kelly Slater, right, who is, he's sort of, you guys are sort of toe in toe with like the best, right? That in a sense, you guys are legends in the sport. How do you keep the competitiveness, but also that friendship kind of going? How does that work?
Well, yeah, that was, and like when this incident happened and the stealing of the surfboard, we were number one and two in the world. We were traveling around the world together. We had our group of guys from the Momentum Generation. It was radical. It was intense, man. We're all like hanging, free surfing together and filming for movies. And then at the same time, the next day we're in a heat together.
And you're being forced to essentially compete for money.
Yeah. And we're going out, putting jerseys on, trying to like kill each other.
Yeah.
And then you got to come in back to the beach and take your jersey off and be like, hey, good heat, man. And then let's go surf again. I think I might be bipolar because of it.
Yeah, that's the most insane thing.
And that moment when Kelly put his hand up for the high five, I mean, I guess you've done a lot of you had a lot of introspection on that moment about whether that was like.
Wait, explain this for the listener. Explain this more.
Okay,
to the listener.
So in the sort of, it wasn't the final heat, or was it the final?
Semi-final.
Yeah. It was a semi-final, but like
1995.
And Kelly had to win to win the world title.
So he had to win the heat to win the world title.
Or no, he had to get to the final.
Okay.
He had. Rob would have had priority, but Kelly put his hand up and basically got Rob to give him a high five, which Rob basically did a cutback and came and gave him a high five, which then meant that Kelly had priority on the next wave.
So Robbie, why don't you explain this in simple terms? What exactly happened at this moment? So
there's the wave actually right there.
And he put his hands up and then he comes out of this big barrel And then Kelly puts his hand up, and there's loads of speculation that he did it consciously so that he would so that Kelly would jump him in priority for the next wave.
So in terms of like a heat when you're surfing, you have to take it in turns, right? So you get one, then your competitor gets one, and you do it back and forward like that.
And it's based on whoever reaches the lineup first.
Yeah.
So the first guy out to the lineup, they give priority, and you have choice of any way that comes in, and the other guy has to get out of your way. So it's, you know.
But then obviously if you are then behind him for the next wave, then he gets priority, right?
Yeah.
Because there's some rules, right, in surfing.
Right.
Apparently if you steal someone's wave, you are not getting drinks down the bar afterwards. Apparently you are literally like the low. Apparently the people have had like fights in the water over these things, haven't they? Isn't that true?
Yeah. It gets heated, man. It gets super heated.
You took my wave? I mean, that's the most intense thing in the entire world.
Yeah, it gets pretty full. But I mean, getting back to that whole high five scenario, it was, yeah, there's both sides, you know, I mean, to look at it. A lot of people say Kelly did it on purpose to like distract me to get priority to get the next wave. Yeah. And I find it hard to believe. I can't speak for Kelly, but.
Yeah,
you know, honestly,
but he was so competitive, you know, like more competitive than anyone, really.
Than anyone.
So
yes.
If anyone was going to do that in a calculating way, it would maybe be him.
I'm not
saying it is, but I'm just saying, like, I guess it's unfortunate for him if he didn't do it like in a calculating way, because
he claims that it had nothing to do with that. It was just really, it came down to like two friends being out in the water together. And, you know, he saw me get this beautiful wave and he wanted a high five. But then we're battling for a world title at the same time. So it's like hard for people to even comprehend that, you know, like being the most competitive surfer on the planet and having won 11 world titles. Now you just think that that's not even fathomable. Right?
Yeah. But you're incredibly competitive as well, right? I was. And you wanted to win more than anything. So, I mean, how was Kelly Slater more competitive than you? I don't think he was. He probably was just more like an aggressive kind of character, I suppose, right?
I think Kelly, I had to find a way, just me personally, the way I dealt with it was I had to figure out a way to go out and be really highly competitive while I was in the water, but then leave it in the water and come back to land and be able to chill out. Whereas Kelly, like, he sat around and thought about things, and really, like, I'd see him on flights, like, you know, reading the ratings and figuring out how many points he needed to do this or that. And, you know, he was just
it's got like Lance Armstrong to surfing. Well, obviously no
ball. Analyzing. Yeah.
It's like what Francis does on Instagram every day. He reads his likes and his comments.
I think he's projecting there a bit.
But okay. So, and then what was the moment, I suppose, when you decided to kind of retire in a sense? Because I mean, I feel like you probably think that you could still surf as well and all those kind of things. And also there's that thing now, which people just say, as you're getting older, sure, when you're younger, you probably have more energy in a sense, but as you get older, you're more wise, you understand the waves more, you understand everything more. So surely you may become better. So was it a hard decision to suddenly go, you know what? That's me out. I'm done for the moment.
Yeah. The decision was kind of made for me, which was a little bit weird. And it was strange at first. You know, I felt like it was premature in my surfing career. I just finished third in the world. It was in the year, it was 2000. I just won the Pipe Masters, and 2001 was a shortened year due to 9/11. I missed a couple of events. I broke my hand. I had an injury.
How did you break your hand, actually?
Surfing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I applied for an injury wild card, and I thought I was a pretty good candidate to get it. And the end of the year came, and back then it was really ghetto. They basically had all the surfers on tour come in and vote for the injury wild card, which is really strange, right?
So you had to be voted to be brought on.
Yeah.
To be brought along on the tour with an injury.
Everyone, like, literally guys show up at the meeting, the injury wildcard meeting, on crutches and, like, you know, rolling in like, oh yeah, I broke my ankle or did this or did that. And
And you have to make your case.
And then your peers vote on it.
What? But surely they wouldn't want to vote you in because they were like, we're not going to vote in Rob because he's going to beat us. Like, so obviously...
So there's a conflict of interest.
I think we vote in the guy who broke his back. Right? He's going to be like, no.
It's super strange. It was the weirdest thing. So
when did they stop doing that?
Yeah.
Because it seems really like...
It was so wrong. Yeah. It was so wrong. So I got voted off the tour basically by the surfers. So then I was super bitter. Like I was pissed off.
And then very shortly after that was when you did that interview, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think, do you remember doing that interview?
Yeah. No, I was pissed off, man. I thought everyone on tour, I was just like, well, F you guys, man. Like,
cause that's really quite brutal, isn't it? Yeah.
But, and I felt like you said, like as far as like mentally, physically, I was like just getting into my prime.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And all of a sudden, like I was demoted down to doing the qualifying tour. I would have had to go back on the qualifying circuit for an entire year and, you know, grind it out there and then to make it back on tour. Yeah. So
I have to say, like with the film, I found it so, there was definitely for me like a big sense of nostalgia because of obviously Momentum 2, you know, and obviously growing up surfing and looking up to you guys, it was and also, you know, that's why I was really into punk music back then.
And just like, explain the film more for our listeners.
So is essentially like Momentum 1, well, it was just called Momentum, was a film by Taylor Steele, basically filming this group of guys out at Pipeline on the North Shore. And basically this group, they all congregated around this guy called Benji Weatherly's house. And they basically, and this guy who was just there at the right time, right? Taylor Steele, and just had a camera and made this first movie and set it to punk music.
And you got to set the premise, like all surf movies before that were shot on like 16 millimeter film.
Like Endless Summer and like all
and
this.
And it was just slow motion. In exotic
locations.
Like, oh, so it's like, oh, look at the location and the sunsets and this is how they're gliding. What I used to see on like Sky channels, you would in the day you'd watch, they would just be like gliding across.
But
water
this was like revolutionary, really, because it was shot in real time, but it had punk music and it just fit so perfectly, and it created this punk wave of punk music across like America, really,
particularly
coastal towns.
The edits were just like fast and hard and just like just the best surfing that was going on and the most high performance surfing to just full on punk rock.
Yeah.
And it was like, if you wanted to get amped to go surfing, that's what you want.
And we used to make like little, like basically we used to pay homage to that kind of filmmaking. We used to make our little skate movies and surf movies and set it to punk rock, like NerfX and Anti-Flag and
all those bands. Like for example,
Pennywise
had released an album or two albums and they'd kind of had their little wave of success and they had totally dipped down. They're all like, okay, we're going to go get a job and just, you know, and Taylor's movies started using their music and their music just took off.
And then they started touring again. Yeah.
And they've been a band ever since. Like it just like went through the roof.
And so your band Sack Lunch.
Yeah.
Is that still, are you still touring with Sack Lunch? Or?
We're playing a show in November. Yeah.
Really?
First one in probably like 10 years.
But really? Whereabouts is it?
We're going to play in Solana Beach and in
maybe
California.
I'll come along.
Yeah, come over. The Offspring's playing too.
Oh, really?
And it's Unwritten Law.
I loved Offspring as well. Right. I had a big Offspring poster in my room.
Hey, everyone, we're going to come back with Private Parts in just 1 second, just after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more.
That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Now back to the podcast.
But also, I can imagine that you're constantly asked to like make movies and do these kind of things the whole time. How do you pick and choose what you want to do, right? Because that's probably the tricky thing that every single person going, let's make a movie. So how do you go, okay, right, this is the one I'm going
to
do?
Yeah. It's fun, actually. Being able to pick the right people that I want to work with and go on trips with guys that I want to go on trips with. You know, being on tour, the intensity of it was that you traveled around with 40 or 50 guys that all surf really, really good.
Yeah.
And it's just the level of intensity in the water, out of the water is just like next. It's like above and beyond. So now I get to like travel with three or four buddies, go to places that we want to go and film like movie sections. You know, I work close with my sponsors, and just
so do you,
filmmakers.
Do you
imagine that?
So Taylor Steele was involved in. He gave a lot of footage to Momentum Generation, or was he involved?
Yeah.
Was he the filmmaker, or was he?
No. He was one of the. Yeah. He was in the movie.
So do you still make? Because a lot of that was his footage, right? In the movie. But do you still make films with him, or have you? When was the last time? Do you think there will ever be a Momentum Generation like?
We made a film called Proximity last year.
And that
just came out. And that was kind of an interesting kind of spin on it, where we took kind of surfers that are similar. So it was myself and Craig Anderson, but kind of from two different generations. And we did some trips together and got to just hang and talk. We went to Chile and we also went to Japan, which was pretty cool. Yeah.
It's just, do you sometimes just sit there and go, holy shit, you look back at what you've done and what you've achieved and all those kind of things and go, God, I as a kid growing up, I loved the sport and now my whole career is just around what I love to do. Do you ever sit back and go, this is pretty freaking insane?
Yeah, for sure. I trip out. I pinch myself all the time. Yeah. Like this year alone, like I call it like just the dream scenario. I got to go, I did a trip to Bali early in May. Mm. And then actually before that I went to Tahiti. So I did Tahiti, Bali and Fiji all in the same year. Right. Wow. And like, for me, those are like my three favorite places in the world to go to. Wow. I'm just like, wow, this can't go wrong. And
correct me if I'm wrong, a bit off subject here, but in that interview, Kelly says that you shaved your head and your hair was straight and then you shaved your head and then it grew back curly.
It was straight.
How crazy is that? His hair grew back curly. He grew back an afro after he shaved his head.
No, surely not.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was super
I've
weird.
Never
I'm
heard
looking
of
for
that
a photo
happening.
Here. Oh, there's a photo right there. There's my bowl cut from like
that.
Fifth
that's,
grade.
That's insane.
You look that's sick there.
Straight hair.
Yeah, but straight hair.
I would be so stoked to have that hairdo back. Right?
But I've never heard of that happening. Did you shave it with a razor or something?
Yeah, it was bald. I went. Yeah.
And also when you go to these, like when you go to now that you've retired and things like that, when you go to these like competitions or watch competitions and see all these kind of things, do people just go crazy around you because you're the legend, the hero type thing? Do they go nuts?
I try to slide under the radar.
Really?
Yeah. I don't go to too many surf events, you know?
See, if I was you, I would go to every surfing event and just stand there and be like, hey, what's up? But also, like, all these young people, has the surfing industry changed at all when you first started in the sense of, like, are people now more aggressive? Are they just pushing boundaries? Are they doing different things? Or is it kind of similar, would you say?
No, it's evolved a ton. You know, I mean, we've got... Guys, when we were on tour, we traveled together as friends, right? We'd get three or four guys and we'd all rent one car and then rent a house together. And
but isn't that way cooler? That's just like, that's what it should have been like the life, right. Like a community, right?
Totally. And nowadays, I was actually at an event in Bali and, you know, I looked around and it was like, this guy's traveling with his, you know, his parents and his coach and his masseuse. And, you know, I mean, everyone's got like their own little tribe and they all stick to themselves and they all are, it's rare.
But that isn't fun, right? You want it to be a community and bring it back and everyone do it together. And it's about the love of surfing rather than
it's become a job.
But
right?
I guess also because, you know, there was a unique aspect to the Momentum generation all having congregated in that one place at that one time and all being, you know, pushing each other to, you know, the highest level.
Yeah.
You know, and so you had that bond from that time that you spent together, but then you're also just happened to be, you know, the best surfers in the world doing the tour. Yeah. So like, but now I guess people are more compartmentalized before they go onto the tour and they, yeah, you know, so, when and they're more competitive from the outset, you'd say.
Yeah. Like when I was 16, I started going to Hawaii and hanging out at Benji's house and I would go there in October and I would stay there till February.
Mm.
So like, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, like forget about your family at home. Yeah. Like your family now became your friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, and that was that happened for years and years and years. Like I didn't have a birthday at home. I didn't spend any holidays
at home.
What did
your parents say about that?
I'd, you know, send them faxes like every once in a while, like, hey, I'm alive, you know? Yeah. Like,
and that was it. And you were just on yourself just going through it.
There was no internet. We didn't have, you know, communication was so different back then, right? You know, there's no FaceTime, like, hey, check it out. I'm in Indo hanging out.
But that saves it so much better because I feel like then, You're on an adventure, right?
And you rely on the people you're around.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
you really absorb like what's happening there. You're way more present. You're not thinking about like, oh, I'll just see what's happening somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, right?
Yeah.
But I think that is like the...
Which is...
I just think that's so much cooler than like...
Well, I think it's way better. And
it's
actually,
way better, man. Yeah, you know,
that's what everyone's trying to get back to now, right? Is like, how do we become more present?
So, well, actually...
Completely, because this is why, you know, people worry... So the past is for like depression, the future's for anxiety. You've got to live in the present and be in the now. And most people aren't doing that. And, and when we talk about meditation and things like that, that kind of like free spirit, like... Mm. Controlled like attitude is what people need to bring it back to.
Well,
right?
Actually, so a few years ago, I went to on a sort of solo surf trip to Panama, and I went and I left my phone at home. So I was kind of going around. I went to a place called Santa Catalina.
Yeah.
Do you know it?
Yeah.
And then Boca del Toro, which was amazing. And I didn't have my phone. So I'd only go like on the internet cafe to check my emails or communicate with people. And actually, being on your own as well, traveling. You know, I think it's such a, you know, an introspective experience. And because I didn't have my phone, I was really just like, I wasn't distracted by anything other than my thoughts and like the, you know, the environment around me and like what I wanted to do. And
well, that's the key word is distractions, right? We're all surrounded by distractions all day long. Yeah, you can go on your phone at any moment and distract yourself for hours and hours, right? Mm. So when do you have time to actually dive into your own self?
And exactly, and then you don't spend that time with yourself, right? So I checked. We've been on tour, right, France and I. I looked at how many hours I'd spent on Instagram. Right. I'd spent 15 hours on Instagram in the past 10 days because we've been sitting in the car. What?
Right.
What is that? I mean, I was like, what the hell?
Next time you're in an airport, just put your phone down and look around.
Yeah.
99% of people in an airport are staring at their phones.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob, dude, listen, this is all we got time for today because you got to do so much today. Can we just say, Rob, your movie is coming out, Momentum Generation. It's you can digitally download on the 5th of November.
That's right.
You are a freaking hero, man. Like I said, you're the second coolest person.
This is too much fun.
Besides me.
We've got to do it again.
Okay.
And can we go surfing together?
Yeah. For sure. Anytime.
I think he might murder you in the waves.
Yeah. No.
Come over to Cardiff Bay.
Yeah, Cardiff Bay.
Cardiff Bay. That's where Captain Hook first surfed. Rob, man, yeah, dude, listen, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, the best. Thanks to our sponsors, Now TV, the streaming service as well. And Rob, what we like to do at end of every single episode is we ask our guest to leave our listeners with something inspirational.
Wow.
Was that it?
Put your phone down for a few minutes and just enjoy that moment.
You heard
but
it.
But if you're listening to our podcast, don't. Keep listening.
And then put it down.
Yeah.
Rob Luciano, thank you, man. Appreciate it, dude. You're a hero.
Thank you
so much. See you next week, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.